Well, this morning we're starting a new series called New Beginnings, with this being a new year and even a new decade. And that newness allows us to, presents us with opportunities to kind of examine who we are and where we are and where we're going. New beginnings allow us to kind of do a reset, to recalibrate, to adjust our course and our way of looking at things. It also allows us to explore new opportunities and new goals, new ways of seeing things, and new ways of doing things, new ways of life. But to do this, we need to have a starting point, a foundation from which we build. For some, that might be family. For some, it might be your profession. For some, it might be an unknown. But for people of the Christian faith, that foundation is described in one word, and that word is Jesus. Now, as a start to this series, I want to share with you what I believe is the most pivotal passage in all of Scripture. It's found in three of the four Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And today I'd like to read it to you from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. And today I will be reading it from the Message paraphrase, where we read this. When Jesus arrived in the villages of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "What are people saying about who the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some think he's John the Baptizer, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." He pressed them, "And how about you? Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus came back, "God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you are, really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom, keys to open any and every door, no more barriers between heaven and earth, earth and heaven. And yes on earth is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, as we begin this new year, as we begin this new decade, open us up more fully to who you are and help us to follow you more closely. Speak to us through these words of Scripture and through the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Before the message today, I want to give a special invitation to something new that we're doing here at the church. On Sunday, January 26, we're going to have an opportunity to hear about Christianity from a Lebanese perspective. Dr. Ramzi Farah will be presenting the story of his family's faith journey and their extended family moving from Lebanon to the United States. Dr. Farah's extended family became involved at DWIT and became members of our congregation several years ago. And their story of both challenge and faith has been an inspiration to me personally. Through our conversations, they've helped me to have a better understanding of the Christian faith from a little different perspective. And so I invited Dr. Ramzi to share a little bit of his family's journey with our congregation, especially during these times where the religions and politics of the Middle East play a significant role in our global tensions. I think you will really appreciate hearing the story of the Farah's journey and their faith perspective. Our time together will start after the 11 o'clock service, so around noon, with an authentic Lebanese luncheon, and then we will wrap up no later than 1:30. So if you are interested, and I encourage you to consider this, please RSVP to the church office or mark luncheon and the number attending on your connection card and put it in one of the internal mailboxes around the church, and I hope to see you there. Well, as for long as I can remember, The time between Christmas and New Year's has been a time of recalibration for me, a time for looking at the past year and evaluating where I am, of asking what's gone well and what's gone not so well, and then looking at what I need to work on or change in my life in the coming year. And with the weather being so warm this year, I got up early each morning and walked the trails that surround my in-laws' home where we spend Christmas break. There are miles and miles of trails around the lake that they live on, and it takes you through these large nature preserves filled with marshes and bogs, and there are benches to sit on, and sometimes you can just stop and listen to the silence, which is kind of a neat thing to do. Or in some spots, you can see the many birds who make their home in the preserve. It's just a wonderful place to walk and to think and even pray. It's also a wonderful place to do the work of recalibration, of resetting, of examining where you've been, and then open yourself up to where God might be leading you next. The 139th Psalm puts it this way: "Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life." That's from the Message paraphrase. This text is really a two-part message. It's about examination and looking back and then asking for God's guidance as you look forward to what's next. Last weekend, we looked at the season of Epiphany and how it's both a season of looking backwards and forwards, and it's about opening ourselves up to new directions that God may be leading us in. But for today, I want to challenge you to think more about the point from which you start this journey, the point from which you build your life. What is absolute truth? Where is the solid ground in which you can build a foundation that will last? And where is the sinking sand that you need to avoid? In our scripture reading for today, Jesus is gathered around his disciples and he asks them, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples answered by saying, "Well, some people think you're John the Baptist, some think you're Elijah or Jeremiah or some other prophet coming back from the dead." In other words, people have all sorts of ideas of just who this Jesus is. They have all sorts of different ideas about this guy who's been going around teaching and going around healing and going around doing miracles. Is he one of the great prophets come back from the dead? Inquiring minds want to know. Well, Jesus presses the disciples on this. "Okay, that's what other people are saying about who I am. What about you guys? Who do you say that I am?" This is an incredibly defining moment. Then Peter, who's the most daring of the disciples, blurts out, "You are the Messiah, the living Son of God." And at this, Jesus said, "Bingo." Well, he really didn't say bingo, but he basically was saying to Peter, "You nailed it. You got it right. That's who I am. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of the living God." This changes everything. It's one thing to follow a prophet or a teacher who guides you and gives you good advice and gives you good direction, but it's a whole different deal when we acknowledge that the one we follow is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. Now I have to tell you, there are many times I'm puzzled by people who teach bizarre stuff about what it means to be a Christian. People have long lists of do's and don'ts, people who are very legalistic, people who say that if you're a Christian, you have to do this, that if you're a Christian, you have to do that, that if you're a Christian, you have to vote this way or that way, that if you're a Christian, you have to be pro this or anti this. There are some out there who even believe that if you are a Christian, you have to confess that the world is flat. I'm serious. Google it. Flat Earth Christians. They really do exist. You know, it says the four corners of the earth? Well, you can't have four corners if the world is round, so it must be flat. Really? But I want to challenge you to see today. is that Christianity isn't about all these do's and don'ts. It's not about being legalistic. In fact, it was the legalistic people of his day that Jesus had the most problems with. Christianity is about one thing and one thing only, and it's about Jesus. It's about saying, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God, and I will follow you. I will confess my sins to you. I will accept your grace because you are the Son of God. That's a starting point where faith begins. Who do you say that I am? And some people will point to crossing the right T's or dotting the right I's or following the long list of rules and regulations, but it starts with that simple confession. It starts from crossing the line of question and doubt to believing that Jesus is who he said he was and accepting his grace. Remember the story of the thief on the cross? The thief was guilty and he knew he was guilty, but regardless of all of whatever he did, Jesus extended grace to him at that moment as he acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. It's from that point of belief that Jesus changes and transforms our lives. And then as we learn to grow in his ways, it is from that point that God's Spirit moves in our lives and makes us more and more a reflection of Christ's love and grace, often one small step at a time. But it starts with that crossing of the line. Now, the next thing that Jesus says in our reading for today is extremely important. Jesus says, verse 17, good for you, Simon, son of John, for this truth did not come to you by any human being, but it was given to you directly by my Father in heaven. In other words, this isn't something that you figured out all by your lonesome. This is something that was revealed to you by my Father who is in heaven. In other words, faith is a gift. In other words, God is not revealed by human logic or reasoning or understanding. God is revealed only by God. Remember the story of Doubting Thomas? Loved Doubting Thomas. Thomas had a lot of questions. And he said, I will not believe until I can see with my own eyes and touch with my own hands. And what did Jesus do? He revealed himself. Then what happened? Thomas fell on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. I want to tell you about a guy by the name of Chris. Chris and his wife started attending the church that I served a long time ago in Farmington Hills. They started coming to our church because she was a follower of Jesus and she wanted their two young children to grow up going to Sunday school. Chris came because Cheryl dragged him there. And every Sunday for about 3 years, Chris just sat there as I gave the sermon with his arms folded across his chest. You could see it in his body language. He wasn't buying anything I said. But he kept coming because his wife kept dragging him there. And then he started popping into my office when he came to pick up his kids from our childcare. He just kind of dropped in, hey, you busy? What's going on? We talk about sports, about raising kids, about the weather. And then one day, the topic of faith came up. He said, Mark, you seem like a decent guy, you know, you're a real guy. How do you believe all this Christianity stuff? And those meetings became more and more frequent. And he would often leave my office with a book or two and just trying to point him to answers to some of his questions. And Chris, to be honest, had an IQ way above mine. I know you find that shocking, but yeah, he did. He's an electrical engineer with Ford Motor Company. He held 2 degrees from MIT. I hear that's kind of a hard place to get in. I mean, the guy's smart. He really was. And in order for him to believe in anything, he had to have it all figured out. He had to have it all in this nice, neat little box that he could get a handle on. I mean, he was such an engineer, and we were blessed with a lot of those guys. I gave him everything I could to help him think and to reason, and he would just come back with more and more questions, a lot of questions that I simply can't answer. I don't know anybody who could. But questions on this side of eternity that we'll never answer. But I said, Chris, just keep asking the questions. Just keep asking the questions. It's never a bad thing to ask questions. Well, then we started doing monthly lunches together. I'd meet up with him in this little Mexican restaurant down in Dearborn, and we would talk about God, and he'd continue to ask questions, and we'd go back and forth. And he said, this was kind of amazing. He said one time, he said, you know, I have grown to really love the teachings of Jesus. I mean, they work. They make sense. But he couldn't find it within himself to say that I believe Jesus is who he was. And he would say to me, I just don't have this all figured out, Mark. It was like his mind was caught in one of those computer loops. It goes round and round and round and round and round. And I said, Chris, it's okay. Just keep asking the questions. And I trust that God will in some way, in some time, make himself known to you according to his timing and your timing. It'll work. Well, then on Christmas Eve of 2001, he came up to me with tears in his eyes after the service. I figured his contacts were bothering him. He gave me a big hug, and that night he said, you know, I don't know why, but I believe. Can't explain it. I just do. A few months later, I baptized him. I had tears in my eyes. He started taking on some leadership in our Saturday morning men's group, inviting other guys he knew from work out to breakfast. A lot of guys who had the same questions and doubts he did. He admitted he didn't have everything figured out, but he didn't need to anymore. It wasn't about doing all the right things. It wasn't about having everything figured out. It was about trusting Jesus as he calls us to cross that line from doubt to faith and using words similar to Peter's confession. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. For some people, that's a huge leap. For others, it's a very easy step across a line. For my friend Chris, crossing that line of faith was difficult. He needed proof. He needed to understand it in his own way of thinking. But ultimately, he finally took that leap of faith because he yielded to the call of God's Spirit to just believe and follow. Some people want to make following Jesus complex and about a long list of do's and don'ts. But it's as simple as stepping over that line of doubt to faith and choosing to learn and grow in ways of Christ at a pace that's ultimately between you and God and you and God alone. So as you begin this new year, as you begin this new decade, maybe it is that line of doubt to faith that God is calling you to cross. Or maybe it's taking your faith a step further, trusting more fully, taking on a new challenge or a new way of seeing God more fully. Maybe that line of faith that God is calling you to is to slow down some, to stop with all the busyness that prevents you from truly hearing God's voice. Maybe the line of faith that God is calling you to is to mend some things in your life that are broken. Whatever the lines might be, don't be limited to human logic or conventional wisdom of the day. Ask for God to examine your ways and guide you as you seek to follow Him. Let us pray. Lord God, as we enter this new year and new decade, help us to cross the lines that keep us at a distance from you. Help us to follow you more closely as we surrender our ways to your ways. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.